Gotta love these kids, man. Sheesh, he's big. Yeah. Hey, Fred. Hey, what's up, man? All is good. Appreciate you guys. All is well.
How you doing, Coach? Nice to meet you, man.
Coach, how you doing, man? Ryan, it's a pleasure, Coach. Coach, you're doing amazing.
Everybody getting younger, man.
You're doing an amazing job, man. The way, like, just love watching the way you coach offense, man. You do an amazing job. You really do, Coach. We were in Tampa last week, Cincy. Cincy, and that's why we came here, though. We did the Cincy receivers, the top three. And so we asked him, like, so who are the DBs?
Yeah.
First name out of their mouth, Denzel. Yeah. Right, then, right. Then
you know what, but I love that because, seriously, as you guys know better than anybody else, players know.
Yeah.
Sometimes fans don't know because it's hard to see, but you guys know you're going up against those guys.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it was first name.
Man.
And they were like, that's circle. They said that's, so that's good. But you know, Greg and Denzel played well against him last year, too, though.
They did. Good coach.
Show video.
That can explain it to guys. I mean, you're a teacher.
Everybody likes
you can explain it to your guys, and they can take it from the classroom to the grass.
Right.
That's your job.
You play fast. Yes, sir.
So you guys can put it up with think. You just play.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, that's why I make a big deal. When we're in pads, I'm like, pads means full pads. I want to see those pads in your knees.
Right. You know what I mean? Right.
Now, everybody has those knee pads up to here.
Right.
They got to be cute. You know, that's the game. Feel good, the whole thing, right? That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, dude ran.
I've been knowing this dude 24 years, man.
Coach, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, that's my guy.
Thank you so much for your time, Coach. It's great talking to you, man. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Coach, it's a pleasure, man. For sure.
What up, my boy?
Slim, what's up with you?
How you spirit?
What's up, baby?
That's all that matters.
Love you, man. Good, good.
Good to see you, my boy.
All right.
Yeah, we need a day.
Yeah.
We'll holler at you.
Catch up.
All right.
Superstar.
So what's up?
What up, though?
What's up, y'all? Good?
What's happening with you, boy? Good to see you, dog.
What up, man? Nice to meet you, brother.
I ain't never touched 100 mil. What's up, dog?
Hey, man, I just want to get your opinion on something real quick, bro. Let's see here.
You don't got to go one through five. No order, but just give me some guys.
Ooh,
when you walking out there to play them, you know they're going to go give you all hell.
I just give you one. Denzel Ward off dunk. I think that's for all three of us. You know what I'm saying? Not just because Cleveland talked the most shit, but just because, you know what I'm saying, Denzel Ward did his thing, you know what I'm saying? Same for Greg Newsom. I don't think he elite, but he definitely did all just talk crazy. So it ain't somebody we circling. It's, we see them.
You gotta tighten up for.
Ain't even that. It's just no, it's game time when we see him. It ain't no crunch up, green. It's on site. Like, yeah.
It's that.
It's just on site when we see him. That's it.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. We had to get on the road, man. How you feel about that?
I feel good. I mean, that's one of them games. They said they don't circle it. We circle it, though. Shoot. I mean, we see what type of players they are. They like that they position. So when we going into that game, we looking like this going to be one of them games we got to show up.
But, Dub, you a shit talker like that?
Not even. No, I don't even talk for real. I go out there and let my game play for real.
But you got, for them boys to talk like that, bro. Like, you got to.
But we had that type of game against them. So it was like.
Yeah.
They gotta say that.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, yeah. You gotta go at them. If you a motherfucker, be a motherfucker.
Oh, facts.
But it's a three-headed monster over there.
No, it is.
I mean, just the preparation and the mindset, knowing Tyler Boyd can go off. Jamar Chase can go off. T. Higgins can go off. Any play. Like, how you get wrap your head around that?
Like I said, we watch them guys up all throughout the week. Like I said, going against those matchups like Jamar Chase, like, I circle those guys. I'm like, all right, let me see what this guy doing. So, like, throughout the week, I'm seeing Jamar Chase, he going out for 100 a game. I'm like, damn, like, what this guy doing against all these players in the league? Like, what he doing to separate himself from everybody else?
You know, when you came in, Freddie T was like, man, I never touched 100 million. And I understand that we don't begin to play the game with that in mind for that money. And obviously, before you and Jalen, that type of money wasn't given out to that position, but we know how it works, right? The way you show me you respect me and you love me and you want me is by how you pay me.
Right.
So when you get that contract negotiated and you sign on the line, what'd that mean to you?
It meant a lot, because for real, I take it back to 2016, my dad passed away. So, and that's where I didn't want to play football no more. didn't want to play football. I didn't want to go to school. And for real, I just wanted to stay back home, take care of my mom for real. But she talked me into going back to school and still continue to play football and stuff like that. So fast forward to when all that happened and end up getting the opportunity to make $100 million and make history for real. It's a blessing. Like, if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't even be here for real. So I'd be somewhere else. So it's just crazy how stuff happened in your life and set in place. And then you're able to hit these milestones that, I didn't dream of or picture for real.
What does it mean to you when you hear, make them know your name?
So that's a saying that my dad, he used to tell me all the time, me, my brother, and my family, like, before we got on the field, he'd say, make them know our name, or before we go into the classroom, just trying to be a positive light for real and impact this world and go out there and make big plays on the field, do what you can to make them know your name and leave an impact in this world.
Macedonia, Ohio. Ohio State, Cleveland Browns. You live like 30 minutes from here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up a Browns fan?
Oh, for real, I didn't watch much of the NFL for real. For real, I watched more college ball. I knew I always wanted to go Ohio State, but I ended up going to the Browns. And it's crazy, the story that not many people could speak of, playing for your hometown team. I played at Ohio State, always playing in Ohio. So, it's a story that hasn't been written many times. So it was definitely a blessing coming here. I've been enjoying it this whole time.
So is training camp the most relaxing time of the year for you? Because I know your ticket requests
right. And
all that pressure that come from home, as close as you live, it has to be crazy. So is this time of the year like where you get your peace and you can just kick back?
Yeah, but it's honestly not that bad. For real, I let my mom, she take care of all the tickets and all that stuff. So it don't be too bad. So once season time come around, she take care of all that. So I don't even have to deal with it. I could just focus on ball.
But you are beautiful.
What you mean?
Well, like, you got pretty eyes, like, you got good skin, you got the little highlights, like, but you a dog now. Like, yeah. I watched you play, you a dog, but did you have to fight that? Like, when
fight
you walk
being
out,
beautiful,
you,
what
just,
you, mean?
You just look, you look so pleasant and nice, but then you got to choke a bitch to sleep, right, you know right. What I'm saying? Like, do dudes try you when they see you, be like, no, this dude got you. You had to fight that?
You the first dude that called me beautiful.
Bro, you are beautiful.
I don't even know how to respond.
don't.
The gentle demeanor. Like in this sport, this barbaric sport, you have a gentle demeanor. Like dudes try you, and then you had to prove it more because you ain't the, I'm an old country. We fight. Like everybody knows the aggression, but you don't see like you very laid back.
Yeah.
So did you have to prove yourself through your career because your demeanor is so relaxed? But you still got to play this barbaric sport?
Real, like you said, that's just my mindset for real. Like, I'm a laid-back guy, but out there on the field, I feel I could click. I'm not the same type of laid-back guy. Once I go out there on the field, I got a different type of mindset, different type of whole attitude that I take when I approach the game. But, like, just around here chilling and stuff, like, I'm chill, laid-back, and cool. But, I never really been, no one really tried me like that. But I think guys know what it is once we out there on the field.
Once you get out in the field, Because it was surprising to me, like when you walked in and just meet you, it was like, hey, what's up?
Right.
Soft spoken, sexy.
The show, man. It's the show.
Yeah, you are real talk.
You know, mentioned being from Ohio, playing for Ohio State, becoming a Cleveland Brown. When you go to Ohio State and play the position that you played, whether it's, guys like Sean Springs, yourself, Jeff Okuda goes very high. You know, there's a long lineage of corners from Ohio State that have become very good professional football players. Do you feel that pressure being here as well, though? It's like, not only is it about being a number four overall pick, but you're a hometown guy. You went to a college that produces, I'm not talking about just good players at the position, but elite players at the position. And there's already a pressure that it's just me and you on the outside. Does it add anything being from the area?
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I don't think it adds unnecessary pressure. I mean, going through Ohio State, like, that was always a tradition. We trying to be the best to come out. We trying to win championships there, be top draft picks, and produce in the league. So it's pretty much about maintaining that tradition of being that guy. Like, okay, when you speak of Ohio State and you see those guys in the league, they producing, they doing what they supposed to do or whatever. So I think it's just a tradition and just trying to carry that on for real.
For you, now being the highest paid defensive back in the league and understanding where this team is from a roster standpoint, you've been here and you guys have been better under Kevin Stefanski, but you were part of the lean years with Freddie Kitchens, and you've been a part of losing traditions. What's going to make this team different? How is this team going to turn it around?
I think we've been doing stuff like building that camaraderie through the offseason. That's been one of our biggest things coming up that I think feel is different from when we had teams with Freddie on to Coach Stefanski. Just building that camaraderie, doing things with guys outside, going to eat, whatever, hanging out and stuff like that. So I really think like that's gonna be the biggest thing, is like knowing who we playing with, we comfortable with each other, and just building that college atmosphere where we could play together and we like, all right, yeah, I don't wanna let my brother down next to me, so I gotta go make that play. So that's really much the biggest thing for real.
In terms of team, we spoke earlier about the trio down in Cincinnati. You had some great guys to line up across from in practice a few years in Jarvis Landry and OBJ, so I'm sure you were able to fine-tune your skills during practice. What were those matchups on a daily like? And specifically for Odell, he gets a bad rep. What type of teammate was he?
Man, he a great teammate. I feel like you could hear from guys all the time, like he the guy that's go, he gonna call you like, yo, what you need if you hurting? He like, I got a doctor for you at the house. I got this, I got that. So he just always on, he go approach you first and be like, I got this for you, I got that for you. So he was a great teammate. He'd come to practice, he competitive, joyful. I mean, just a guy you want on your team and a guy you want to be around, so.
And every day, like, did they make you better across the board?
No question. No question. Like I said, those guys got me ready for the game.
Wow.
Yeah. And, bro, as like you're saying, like RC said earlier, you was in some lean years. That's a nice way to say it. Mm. It was some bad stuff. But then you see the organization going to get guys, going to add people, drafting well, have them draft picks and get it. Like, as that OG and them young guys coming in, what do you do to help that process of rebuilding this organization to a championship level and trying to really make something, really make the Cleveland Browns be a team that people are scared to play?
Right. I think, I mean, for me personally, like, I got to do my part. So I got to play my part. I got to go out there and still perform and still be that number one corner out there on the field. But just also with that, just bringing up the young guys that's coming in and showing them how I do things. But I mean, I'm still learning too, so I'm learning from them, and we just having that constant communication for real, so. And
that leadership side though, is that hard?
I think it's natural. It just depends on who you are. Like I said, I'm more laid back, so I do like to show by my example and show by how I play on the field, but I'm gonna go grab guys and still, I'll talk to them, help them on technique and communicate with them that way and approach them just me and you or whatever, rather than the whole team maybe.
You know, you look at expectations, right? We were in Pittsburgh as well, and we were talking to those guys about the expectations of the organization. And every time you step on the field, you're representing something. And that's all across the league. No matter how you look at an organization, there's going to be a perception of that organization. The Cleveland Browns are a team that, you know, have gotten to the AFC Championship, and it was the Denver Broncos, and they never were quite able to get over that hump historically. Mm-hmm. And then now you look at the last couple of years, he mentioned the OBJs, the Jarvis Landrys, you have a number one overall pick at quarterback, and I know what that's like in camp. Because I was talking about the roster in the offseason and speaking of you and what you had added defensively. Has it been a letdown for you guys to not reach the goals you set at the beginning of the last couple of years based on the roster that you had?
I mean, I would say so, because all our goal going into camp, going into the season, is we try and win championship and make it to the Super Bowl. So once we don't accomplish that, it's like, dang. Because, I mean, everybody at the beginning of the year, they like, oh, we got all this talent. We got OBJ, we got Jarvis, we got all these pieces, but all these pieces don't always gel and match together. So, I mean, I would definitely say it's a letdown just because we didn't reach those goals that we strive for to set at the beginning of the year. So, but when it come a new year, we got the opportunity to do it all over again and try to gel with new guys and get to that goal of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, it's like you're talking about the new year and the new start, right? And the guys that are in the locker room. Baker Mayfield is now a Carolina Panther. And, you know, we saw that unfold, and it wasn't pretty, right? It became public, whether it's, you know, the tapes from OBJ, Baker obviously seeing that you guys were involved in the trade for Deshaun Watson, saying he felt disrespected, all of those things, and that's playing out for the world. And then you guys get Deshaun Watson, and you understand there's going to be some sort of punishment or some sort of suspension, but you're looking at that team, and you're like, man, when we get four, right, sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. And then now everything that's going on, how in the locker room are you guys holding it together to move forward and win games with whether it be, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Josh Rosen, whoever has to play until Deshaun's back?
Yeah, I think really, we got to take care of our own business. I still got to go out there and be that number one corner that could take the guys away. Because, I mean, we had, whether it's Deshaun or whether it's OBJ or Jar, whoever it is, like, we had guys like, okay, this could be the year. This could be the year. But it's about just putting all that stuff together. But when, so we had instances where we didn't necessarily were able to have all the guys together or people could gel or match at the same time. So it's pretty much like I said, we got to go out there and handle our own business and then everything else should take care of itself.
And Deshaun, when he come out there and play, did you say, as a corner, you're going against him and the receivers. Mm-hmm. Did you see that difference? Did you say, whew, this is something else than I've seen in the past right. Once Deshaun walked on that field?
No, you definitely see what type of player Deshaun is and the accuracy, the competitiveness he has in his game. And so, I mean, we're looking to get everybody together. We want Deshaun to be out there once the season starts, but if not, we got to do what we got to do. But you see the difference and see the type of player that he is.
It's levels to it.
Yeah.
You know when a dog look at a dog and you a dog, they gave you $100 million. You a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I was gonna ask, because a dog know a dog. Yeah. So when he walked out, he was like, okay.
You see that, yeah.
Got us a dog.
Yeah. Hey. We got us
one. One got $100 million, the other one got $230 million guaranteed. I mean, at that point, we gotta get a new name for him. Cause you ain't gotta be a dog no more. Like you just hey you just,
a raptor? Yeah. Dinosaur? I don't know what the hell we go past the dog with.
Yeah, you gotta get something else.
Hey, man, let me hold $5.
You got it.
Chan talked about leadership. RC talked about start to a new season. Here we are in training camp. Mm-hmm. Start to a new season. And you know you were getting a dog in Deshaun coming over, but you're also getting a lot of distractions. You know, as a team leader, how do you guys, you know, keep that on the outside?
For real, it's just trusting the organization. Like, they did all they had to do in researching whatever it is. But, and then just letting that, I mean, he our quarterback. Let him know that we got his support. He got the support of the team, and like, we go back him on whatever it is. I mean, we out here trying to build a team, build a championship team, and take it to the next level.
You know, you look at this team and also your division, right? This division has now become a division of star quarterbacks, all except my team. But the rest of the teams, you know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens, you have Lamar Jackson, MVP, one of the top talents in the league. Joe Burrow, a former Ohio State guy and LSU Tiger guy, you know, now in Cincinnati. When you think about the future of this division, obviously you guys with Deshaun, what's going to keep you and this team from dominating?
What's going to keep us from dominating?
What can keep y'all from dominating? Because when you look at, like, y'all have all the pieces, man, and we have talked about the Cleveland Browns for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. having all the pieces they need as a team, right, to be a Super Bowl champion, to be a Super Bowl contender with Nick Chubb in the backfield, great offensive line, skilled players on the outside. Obviously, what you can do and the rest of the guys on defense with Myles Garrett. But it's always something mm-hmm. that stops y'all from saying, okay, we're achieving everything our roster says we can achieve. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the other teams. Sometimes it is the Baltimore. Sometimes it is the Cincinnati Bengals. So to rephrase it, what do y'all have to do to begin to dominate this division?
I think we gotta work together. We gotta all play good at the same time. That's the biggest thing. I think, like, last year during the season, maybe our offense doing good, they balling, dominating, putting points on the board, and defense may not be doing their job. Or defense balling, getting takeaways, but we're not putting points on the board. So I think the biggest thing is about playing good at the same time, for real, and playing complementary football. So if we could all do that and Amari and Deshaun, they get on the same page. The guys get on the same page and doing what they're supposed to do. Ian's coming off great. I think we're going to be solid. That's going to take us to the next level.
And then you're talking about the defense and offense playing together and all this stuff and the team atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You've been on struggling teams. Yeah. You've been on middle-tier teams, but not that next step. Mm-hmm. So, like, to Ryan's point, like, do you see what it takes?
See, and that's what I feel like we all still learn. Like I said, we haven't took that next step where we could say, oh, we a championship team, we a Super Bowl team. So we haven't took that next step. So like I said, we got to come in and try to find what it is to get us there. So that's why I think, like I said, the biggest thing was that camaraderie and getting guys together. Because before, I didn't think we didn't have that as much. Guys wasn't as close. Guys wasn't doing as much off the field as we could have. And just, I feel that's a big fact. Like in college, we all brothers, we all close, and we all trying to defend the other person regardless of what it is. So if we could build that around here, that's what I said.
It's the crazy thought part, because we're doing the training camp tour. We talk to other guys that say that. Mm. Like that, T.J. Watt said the same thing.
Well, it's real.
He was like, we're here and we have nowhere to go. Right. So as soon as meeting's over, we're playing cards, we're rolling dice. We're like, that's as big as it is, because I ain't going to lie. Like, I didn't give a damn what you did after practice. Yeah. I'm about to go slide to the strip club,
right,
and you do whatever you do. Go, I don't know, do some weirdo stuff. Yeah. But you really think that camaraderie?
Time out, though. Do you think people didn't think you was going to do weirdo stuff?
What's weird about a strip club?
Like I'm just saying.
When you was going to the strip club, that was after practice?
Nigga, right after one practice. In the afternoon.
And
I was waiting at Doug for the form to unlock it. And when y'all open?
And that's not strange to you?
Right. That's not strange to me.
When you're supposed to be working?
I'm done with work.
Yeah. So you're not watching no film after practice? You to the strip club watching?
Oh, I film. I was the early morning man, so yeah. I do the film in the morning. When they cut me loose out of that facility, Miami.
Okay.
And I'm about to go Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do all Miami has to offer.
Hey, but this the same guy that woke up from the nap driving over today. I show him a clip of a tight end getting behind him. He say, oh, that's a blown coverage. Guess who blew it?
I say, miscommunication. He ain't tell me that was my man.
Right.
You got to talk to me. But like, it's funny because the young athlete, we talk a lot about, like, y'all boys, we all 40. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it seems as if y'all are, like, different. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if just talking to these young guys, they seem like that camaraderie really means that much to y'all and success of the entire organization, but it's on y'all. It means that much?
No, it really do. It really do. I'm saying, once you get that, build that camaraderie and guys that you trust, I mean, out there on the field, you got to trust that next guy knowing he going to make the play and stuff like that. I mean, it's just going to take you there.
There's a street named after your father.
Mm-hmm.
In reading about him and his love for the community, Thanksgiving, you guys being young and him having you go out and give to the less fortunate and be a part of those things and what's that instilled in you? What type of pride, man, do you get in, because you've got 100 million, you were the fourth pick of the draft. There are all these things you have done in life mm-hmm. that are Denzel Ward obviously instilled in you by your father, but it had to be a proud moment for you, even with all you accomplished, that street represents your name. That street represents your father. What was that feeling like?
Man, it was a blessing. I mean, that was, I feel, everything that he embodied. Like, the saying he used to say, make him know your name. Like, he got a whole street named after him. So that just literally says what it is right there. Just the impact that I feel that he left on this world, like I said, and things that he instilled into me, and to who I am, and I try to carry on when I come in communication with people or whatever, that just means the world to me and to my family. And so that's just how I try to live my life, just going about trying to impact the world in a positive way and make people know my name, whether that's on the field or in the community, and just like I said, people I come in contact with.
I got two questions for that. From a football standpoint, you get this money, you're drafted where you are, and not in the sense that people don't fail, but you're expected to be as good as you are. When you go run 4.32 and you're strong as hell and you've played at The Ohio State University, you don't draft a dude fourth and think to yourself, he's not going to be excellent at his job. Mm-hmm. What else is there for you to prove? What are you still playing for? What are you still trying to make them know about your name, about Denzel Ward, every time you step on the field? Because motivations change. Motivations are different. Yeah. Goals change. What are your goals now?
See, for me, it was never really about the money. Like, for me, it was, I want to be legendary. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be, but I don't always speak on that. I want to be the best corner in the league. I want to be considered the best corner. But I feel that may not always be the case. I don't always publicly speak on that or whatever. So I got a lot of goals that I set in place and that I'm trying to accomplish and be something, be more. But I mean, like I said, I don't always publicly speak on it. So you feel me? So I don't always get the recognition or the light that I should get.
And who, I won't say chasing because you a dog already, yeah. But when you start laying it out, like guys that you want to be the best corner in the league, are you?
I feel I'm the best corner in the league. If you put my numbers up to the whoever you think is the number one corner in the league or whatever, I feel my numbers either match it or better than it.
I don't
know. We talking about numbers.
Numbers, but I'm talking about who do you look, when you watch film, who do you look at as corners? Like, okay, he can play.
Yeah, I mean, y'all know the guys. It's the Jalen Ramseys, the Marshawn Lattimores, Xavier Howards, Jair Alexander, all those guys. I mean, and all those guys some dogs or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a dog too, you feel me? So it's like, I'm trying to be that number one guy. So I'm chasing those guys, and those guys I feel chasing me.
But like we said earlier, man, you, and there's nothing wrong with it, but you seem so soft-spoken. You know, where do you find that switch? Like, how do you, you know, how do you just get into it like and just change everything and say, I'm dominating this shit today? Right.
To me, I just feel like I'm a competitor. I hate to lose, and when I get out there on the field, like, we got a thing called no claps. So it's like, either my mom gonna be clapping or your mom gonna be clapping when we out there on the field. So it's about like, I don't want your mom to be up there clapping, cheering for you. That means I'm probably getting bombed on or they doing whatever they want out there on the field. So it's just that competitive nature and just not trying to get exposed and just wanting to be that guy out there on the field. I'm trying to be a playmaker. I'm just trying to be that guy to be like, all right, okay, when 21 out there on the field, we know we go get something out of it.
And in that same breath, are you the type of guy that says, you know, nah, I want this guy today. Do you welcome those other dogs on the other side of the field?
I love those matchups. Like, we just talking about with Jamar Chase, whoever it is, I love those matchups or whatever, whether it's DeAndre Hopkins, whoever it is. I want the number one guy, and I want everybody to be watching. We to the boundary. It's me versus you. Who go win? So.
Is it too early in the season to call somebody out?
Yeah, I ain't calling nobody. I mean, whoever it is, I mean, whoever wants it.
Hey, somebody circle. This is my thing. You know, like, I loved film. Like, I would watch film all the time. And I was talking to T and Jamar and Tyler, and I was very honest. Like, I really didn't care if your best players played. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, some dudes are like, nah, man, if we play in Cincinnati, I want Jamar to be there. There was never a time in my life where I was playing against a Randy Moss team and I was upset that he was hurt.
Right.
Like, never. There was never a time they was talking to me on Thursday, well, how do you feel about Randy being hurt? Well, he can come back Monday. I'm glad he ain't gonna be there on Sunday. Like, I wasn't like that. For you, though, and playing your positions, those are the legendary matchups that elevate you to that spot you want to get to. But when you watching the film and you see Jamar Chase almost have a season against Marlon Humphrey, who at the time, $96 million, all pro, pro bowler, what does that do to you and your mentality? Is it like, okay, Jamar different. I got to play differently against him. Or is it like, I know Marlon's a dog too. Like, I got to figure out this game. What switches in your head from that type of film study, seeing an elite guy challenge another elite guy and lose in that way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, Jamar, he was going 100. We ain't playing until like mid-season. I think he was going off 100 yards each week. I'm like, dang, this guy's going off on these guys. Like, what is he doing? Because when I was watching film, I see that he's a good player. But for how I play, I feel like, okay, I feel like I could do some of these things differently than another guy could do or whatever. So just leading up to the match, I'm studying them all week and just checking them out. But for my mindset, like, one guy, he said, yeah, I'm concerned a little bit, but I mean, I packed that thing too. So I mean, I just feel like I'm like that, and I'm that guy. Like, whoever it is, whoever that matchup is, if it's Jamar or whoever it is, I feel like I could come out on top.
Hey, before you came in, he's like, man, he's quiet. You know what I mean? And I know Channing's strange, and he called you beautiful to your face or whatever. And so we were driving up, And I was just talking about how good I think you are. You know, we've messaged before, but I was like, he could just really play. And I was just telling him about speed and change of direction, all these things. And I was like, but it's weird. I was like, because he is, like, oddly pretty. You know what I mean? and so, you know, but with that, one thing that always stands out to me from you, I'm a down south guy. I'm an SEC guy. I'm not waking up, you know, in the morning thinking about the 11 o'clock Central game that's going to have Ohio State on. Mm-hmm. The thing that made me know the shoe was the hit against Maryland.
Yeah.
Right? You were flagged for it, but you dang near killed dude.
Right.
Right? And so at that point, though, I'm looking at it, it's like, this is a corner. And you were even smaller than you. I think you was like 180 at the combine. Mm-hmm. And you were even smaller then. And so to see you play that way made me say, okay, this is somebody I got to pay attention to. And now I'm watching you lock down receivers in the league. What was the upbringing like that made you this person on the field? Not the player, like, because I'm slow. Like, I can't run. Yeah. Like, I couldn't really jump. So I had to change things up and become something differently from a player standpoint. But what upbringing and what part of your experiences made you, like, I guess Chandler would say, that type of dog?
Yeah, because for real, I wasn't that highly touted recruit coming out of high school. But all throughout my high school career, and going to college, everybody like, oh, he's small, he this, he that. He not gonna be able to make it because he's small. So that was always the thing, that I was small. But I'm like, man, I'm still showing I could tackle, I could hit, and I could play and stuff like that. And so it's like, it's really about just proving people wrong. For, I mean, I had a high school coach that was like, oh, yeah, you're not gonna make it to college football, or you're not good enough. So I'm like, all right. So that was one of my motivating factors. Same person, he was like, and then I end up getting an offer. He like, oh, they only want you because you fast or whatever. So it's just all these little tidbits. I'm thinking in my mind, like, man, people saying all these things. I can't do this, I can't do that, and I'm small. So I always just wanted to play bigger than I actually was or whatever. So even though I was smaller, I was still lifting, still strong and stuff like that, and able to make those big plays and make those big hits, like you said, against Maryland and change the game.
Yeah, and one thing, Freddie joked about it. We done joked about it already. You hit them for 20 coming out. They hit them for another 100. Mm. The old saying, more money, more problems. What's them problems for you?
Man, for real, I don't really have no problem. I'm not.
You got something, bro.
I'm not a big, real needy person, so it's like, I go with the flow. So I don't really have too much problems for real.
You know how to say no?
Yeah,
Cause bro, people, like I'm saying, that's why I don't count the other man's pockets, but yeah. Shit's on the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We know you got bread. So what does that bring?
No, I mean, it bring a lot. It bring a lot of extra people, new cousins, new everybody. So, but I mean, like I said, I'm not a real needy person. I know how to say no, and I know how to communicate and talk to people. Like, okay, if I'm not giving you money, I mean, I could give you knowledge. I could talk to you, and we could figure whatever out, whatever it is that you're trying to do. And it's either you accept it or you're not. So.
And what's your advice?
It depends on the situation. Like,
everybody that got bread got advice. Are you clothes dude, a car dude, a jewelry dude?
I like jewelry. I like the finer things, but I mean, I don't know. I like the finer things.
You did very well on this show, by the way, because yeah. I got one more question after this. You didn't ask him, as much as you called him beautiful, you never asked him about women. I am very proud.
Oh, I know he killing. You killing him, ain't it?
I'm single, so I mean.
No, you wasn't single yesterday. You gotta be killing them, bro. Look at
you. I'm chilling, man. I'll be chilling.
Shit, teeth. Hey, white teeth? Was that Invisalign? God damn.
I'll be chilling, bro.
You're just chilling.
I'll be hanging out. I know. He's trying to get me.
Don't fall into the trap, man.
I'll be chilling.
You know, seriously, with the Make Them Know Your Name Foundation, you the Browns Walter Payton Man of the Year. You do a lot in the community. $100 million man, you know, a hell of a player, man. From me to you, thank you for your time in this training camp. We know how it is. We wish you the most success on this season. I don't know what RC has.
I have one more. I like that. And because you're Freddie Flowers and that's what you do. And I love the fact that he just listed things about who you are as a person. You know, even when this first started, you know, you talked about your father immediately. And I know that's probably, I couldn't imagine that. So I know it's still something you feel. Walter Payton Man of the Year, as a very young player. Your foundation and the amount of donations you've made, it's even just cardiac health, cardiac awareness, research. Getting to name that foundation after something your father would always tell you, if he was still here, what do you think he'd be most proud of?
I think he'd be most proud of just the way we continue to pursue throughout life. I mean, he passed away, but I feel like he prepared us for life after him. And like he always told us, like, regardless, always take care of your mom, do this, do that, and just setting the right foundation for us to be the man I am, for my brother to be the man he is. And like I said, just finding a way to impact this world in a positive way. So I think, like I said, the biggest thing is just what we could give back to this community, give back to this world for real.
Well, I'm gonna say this, man. You have certainly made them know your name. I think the world of football truly understands who Denzel Ward is, but I do believe that your biggest impact is going to continue being off the field. And I don't think you will ever understand what you are doing for the people you're helping and what you are doing in that community. And as a father, I know your dad is as proud as he could possibly be of you. So, man, thank you for your time, bro. I wish you the best. Like, I just enjoy watching you play the game. I think you play it the right way. And I will be locked in for Cincinnati Bengals,
sure.
Cleveland Browns
no
this
doubt.
Year.
No question.
All right, my dog.
No
appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate y'all.
That was sure. good, man. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Awesome, brother. Right, appreciate bro. You, man. You are beautiful, though.
hey, you did good, Chan. I thought you would have asked him that. I thought you would have asked him that way earlier, dog.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up.